Well, I'm doing this differently this morning because our internet was down at home and I could not print off my outline. So I'll see how this works. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Technology is great, so it doesn't work. Deuteronomy chapter 1, the message this morning is Caleb had another spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Deuteronomy 1:19, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which we saw by the way of the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said, we are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God hath given unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they returned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out, and took the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is good, a good land which the Lord God hath given us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged their hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that he went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in and fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who shall see it, and to him will I give the land he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Of course, Moses is just maybe about 30 days before dying and turning the leadership of Israel over to Joshua as they're going to go into the promised land, which has been delayed 40 years entering now because of this act of disobedience. An 11-day trip turned into a 40-year wandering in the wilderness because of this disobedience. But you have here Caleb mentioned. He appears just briefly in the scriptures, but at a very important time, he appears, along with Joshua, of course. He's first mentioned right here with the 12 spies as they're sent to, as Moses is looking back and thinking about when they were sent up into the land to spy out the land, to give a report of what's there. And they saw the beauty of the land that God had prepared and preserved for them. And the abundance of that land and all the fruits that they brought samples of to show the people what was there. But then they said, oh, but there's giants up there. And there's no way we can do that. No way we can face them. And so they discouraged the hearts of the people. He's not mentioned again till here, 40 years later, and then again 5 years from this point here. And the first mission, as we've seen here, that he was sent on was a failure. Not because of his doing, but still the mission that he was a part of failed. Yet he was a man that is very highly esteemed by God. Go back to chapter 14 of Numbers for a moment. Numbers 14, verse 24. Well, let's back up a little bit. Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb. Because he had another spirit with him, and hath fully followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He had another spirit. He was different. And God singles him out and esteems him highly. And you know, there's several different people throughout the scriptures as you look at them, and many of them don't have a lot of verses committed to recording their history, like Enoch, who walked with God and was not, because he pleased God. And Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and in spite of his failures, highly esteemed by God. And different ones, you see this happening, but Caleb was one of those. He had another spirit. And let's look at this spirit that he had. First, he had a spirit committed to God. As he said here in verse 24 of chapter 14, he wholly followed the Lord, fully followed him. Look at Numbers 32. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 11. Numbers 32, 11. Surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land. You think about that. So everybody, when they refused to take the land, when they refused to conquer the land, God says everybody that's 20 years old and above in the next 40 years is going to die. So there was nobody except Joshua and Caleb over 60 years old that went into the promised land. Everybody else died, the entire generation. He goes on here, he says, verse 13, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. Well, I guess we don't need to read that further. Go to Joshua 14, Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am come this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord hath spaken that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then shall I be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite in this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed him. He was committed to do whatever God desired of him, completely and wholly committed to him. He was committed to follow God's plan. Look it back at Numbers 13 again. Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spake, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were the heads of the children of Israel. So men from each of the 12 tribes were chosen. Then he goes on and he names those individuals. Included in this, again, are Joshua and Caleb. Drop down to verse 17. And Moses went then to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So go, here's the plan. You guys have a job to do. You're to spy out this land. You're to see what's there. You're to get prepared for us to go ahead and follow through with God's plan to conquer this land, to take possession of this land that was promised to us so many years before, 430 years before this was promised to Abraham. That land still belongs to Abraham and his descendants, regardless of what the UN or anybody else has to say about it. But he was wholly committed to God, and he was wholly committed to God's plan. Look at Genesis. Well, we don't need to look at that one. What God promised is now about to be fulfilled. You think about this, that for 430 years they've waited. For 400 of those years, they were in hard bondage in Egypt, slaves, suffering. But now at last, this dream of theirs is about to come to fruition. This promise that has been held before them for these 400 years is about to become a reality. It's right there. It's ready for our taking. That's Caleb's attitude and Joshua's attitude about this anyway. We're going to get what God has promised, and they're committed to doing that. They go up there and they look and they come back with the grapes and they give the report about what's going on. And he was locked out of that promise. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. This is the beginning of the what they see as the unfolding of the fulfillment of this promise. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God knows. He knows them all. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large. And know the land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Look at chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was not known to them. And I've also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I remembered my covenant, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I'll take to you me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I'll bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So this is the plan. This is what is motivating Caleb in his desire to get this which God has promised to them. They're locked out of that thing. He's following that sin. I think of Paul. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul had this similar kind of a spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. And he tried to pass it on to us. He says, thou therefore endure hardness. Was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself in the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, sometimes it's not easy to fulfill God's plan in your life. We get this idea that, well, I'm a Christian, and now that God loves me, and I'm God's servant, and so everything should go well. I can testify this morning that's not true. Sometimes it seems like our lives just fall apart. You still got to be committed to him. Even this whole thing for Caleb seemed to be falling apart. He was still committed to God.
Amen.
And to his plan for his life. He had a spirit that motivated him to please God, regardless. He was committed to God. Secondly, he had a spirit that was confident in God's purpose. He knew what God had done in the past. He'd experienced the wonders of Egypt as God began to work to release them from that bondage there. He'd been through all of that, the 10 plagues, ending with the death of the firstborn. He'd been with the crowd as they'd gone into the wilderness, being pursued by the Egyptians, and come against the Red Sea. And the Bible says they were hemmed in. They got the sea before them and the Egyptian armies behind them. And then he saw Moses, as he raised that rod and struck the waters, and they parted. And they were to walk through on dry ground. And he says, God has a way. Even though it's impossible to me, even though it looks like there's no help and no hope, God has a way. A way that we can't even oftentimes begin to imagine. He was committed to God's purpose. Knowing what he'd done in the past. And all this is fresh in his mind. And in spite of those giants who were inhabiting that land, in spite of the fact that these people had known nothing but slavery for 400 years, they weren't skilled soldiers. They weren't experienced in battle. They were a bunch of escapees from slavery. But they had God.
Amen.
And God had a purpose that he'd made them abundantly clear to them. What's God's purpose for your life, Christian? Well, first is to be committed to him.
Amen.
Regardless. But then to find God's purpose in your life. What does God want you to do? If you're taking breath this morning, God has a purpose for your life. And certainly it's not everybody's purpose to stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel, but maybe it's to help out in Sunday school, children's church, True Trackers, or whatever the case may be. Regardless of the obstacles, you need to be committed to what God wants for you to do. He knew that, Caleb knew that God would continue to be present and powerful in his life, just as he had done in the past. Look at Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 5. Numbers 14, 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They've come back with the report, and the 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. But Moses and Joshua and Caleb agreed by this. They're rending their clothes. And verse 7, they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And you go through this in the book of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua, and that same thing, is theme is repeated. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I'll help thee. I will uphold thee. Hey, Christian, God hasn't forsaken us.
Amen.
And no matter what happens, if this great reset is pulled off, if they finally accomplish that and Donald Trump gets defeated in November, God has not forsaken us.
Amen.
But I just wonder how many Christians will survive if that happens. You know what Paul said? In the last days, there's going to be a falling away.
Yeah, amen.
That sounds like things might get kind of rough before the rapture. I hope they don't, but it could.
Yeah, amen.
Are you committed to God's purpose? Are you willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? We get focused on our plan, our purpose for our lives, the goals and the dreams that we've got, and we push God's aside. Caleb didn't. He was committed to God, and he was his confident in God's purpose. God said, that's ours. And we're going to get that. And it doesn't matter how big those giants are. It doesn't matter how skilled they are in warfare. It doesn't matter what kind of weapons and defenses and offensive weapons they have. We've got God. Go back to that again. He said, if the Lord delight in us, verse 8, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. See, they're looking, the ten are looking at all that the people of the land have. But they're saying, it ain't there.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
God's taken care of it. And the Lord is with us. fear them not. Psalm 27. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118. Verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I applaud these pastors across this nation, such as Jack Treber, who each service, they have a $5,000 fine levied against them, their meeting. And there's no guarantee that when that goes to court, they'll bypass that fine.
Yeah, amen.
It's California, remember.
Amen.
But they said, you know, we know God's purpose for us to meet. And they're taking the proper precautions to do so. And I believe the county that they're in probably has no more cases of COVID than Center County. This is no reason why we should be restricted like this. We're going to meet.
Amen.
We're going to do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Folks, there's some things coming down. If depending upon how it goes, we might have to make a choice. Are we committed and confident in our God? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are you confident? You know, too often some new trial, some difficulty, some obstacle comes in our lives, and it erases everything that we know of what God has done in the past. I bet there's people here sitting here this morning to give testimony of seeing God work in a miraculous way in their lives. God says he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's still capable of doing miracles today and desiring to do so. You know what happens? We are too afraid to put ourselves in a position to see God be able to work in our lives. Just like the 10 spies. What an opportunity to have. I mean, and 40 years later, it came to pass. They went in there, and as long as they were faithful to God, those enemies fell one by one before them. The first place was Jericho. That great walled city. And God says, watch this, boys. Don't take your weapons. They just take a torch and go out there and walk around the city and come home. Okay, Lord. Okay, boys. Do it again. Okay. 6 times, 6 days in a row. The 7th day. All right, guys, you go out there and you march 7 times around that city. And when you get done, then you break the torches and you give a shout. And what happened? the walls fell flat.
Amen.
It didn't say they fell in a pile of rubble that they had to crawl over the top of to hear. The walls fell flat. Well, that doesn't make sense. Neither does the parting of the Red Sea.
Right. Amen.
Neither does God speaking and something coming into existence. Don't limit God.
Amen.
There's nothing that God cannot do. Confident in his power, that he will be present and powerful in our lives. Don't let the present circumstance erase from your minds what God has done. Caleb had another spirit, different from those that lived in his time.
Amen.
Thirdly, I want you to see this. He had a spirit controlled by God's promise. He believed God. The first two songs we sang this morning were pretty interesting selections. I have to go back and look. The first was How Firm a Foundation is Laid for You Saints in His Excellent Word.
Amen.
This precious old book. There is so much recorded here, folks. If we would just believe it.
Amen.
Find the promises that apply to your situation. Pray them to God. Apply them in your lives. And maybe it's just a promise that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Folks, we need to be dependent upon this book and the God of this book, to trust him, to trust what he has said. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Just to take him at his word. Oh, how blessed to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. That's all Caleb had. I gave it to Abraham. It was to be passed on to Isaac and to Jacob and all the descendants of Jacob. The 12 tribes represented in Joshua and Caleb and the other 10. But it's yours. I'm going to give it to you. You just have to lay hold of it. Christian, you just got to lay hold of it.
Amen.
To get a hold of God's promises. Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we come into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of the land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. So what? We got God.
Amen.
We got God's promise. Let's grab hold of it. Look at Jude verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. An entire generation. Everyone 20 years old and above, over the next 40 years, perished in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb, because they believed not. And you'll probably, the saddest part of this entire account is there was one other man that perished as well. Moses. Now, he wasn't part of the multitude here that spoke against Joshua and Caleb, but there were later on when God says, speak to the rock, and Moses in anger reached out and struck it. So he perished as well, because he believed not. He didn't trust what God told him to do. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This thing gets brought up time and time again. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way, so I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, watch this, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. An evil heart of unbelief. Boy, I shudder when I think about how many times I've had that evil heart myself. I just didn't believe. And God, in his mercy, so many times has come through in spite of my unbelief. But beware, because without faith, as it says in chapter 11, verse 6 of Hebrews, it is impossible to please him. Caleb acted based upon God's promises, not the polls, because the majority was wrong. Because the majority said, no, we can't. It's not possible. But God said it was. That's all you need. Circumstances, practicality, the detractors didn't sway him. And a 45-year delay altered nothing in his commitment. Look again at chapter 14 of Joshua. Joshua 14. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And again, this they've begun. They're 5 years into conquering the land at this point. Joshua's the leader now. Jericho's in the past. Ai is in the past. Many other of the places have been conquered. And he says this, Joshua and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, if thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and brought him word again as it was in my heart. So Caleb was 40 when they were delivered from Egypt and first spied the land. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on the day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So he's going back to this 45 years later. He says, here's what took place. We went up there, and I had a promise that this would be mine. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. He's 85 years old now. Man, I hope I got the gumption, half the gumption he had at 85, if I lived that long. Ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Well, I can't say that. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Just point me in a direction of the battle. I'll fight. Because I wholly follow my God. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims are there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I know the enemy's still there, but I want that mountain. Give it to me. I'll take it. Just give me the word that it's mine. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to conquer. I'm ready to capture what was promised to me 45 years ago. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord his God. 45-year delay didn't change anything for him. He had his sights on it the whole time. And the opportunity came, and he asked for it, was given permission, and he seized it, seized the prize. Folks, we've got an even greater prize awaiting for us.
Amen.
And all that God says is be faithful. Be committed to me. Be committed to my purpose and be confident in my promises. Do the promises of God have a present reality in your life? I leave you with that question this morning. Let's stand, please. Father, we thank you for your promises. Will God help our unbelief? Help our weak and fainting hearts, Father. Help us to have the same spirit that Caleb had. To understand what you've desired of us. And not to be swayed in going after it. Resting on your promises as we go forward. God, stir your people's hearts, challenge them, help them with these words this morning. And we thank and praise you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.